If you don't know me, my name is Stuart Mizell, and I'm pastor of Westminster. It's good to see you all here today. We are starting a new series today that's basically just this Sunday, next Sunday morning, and next Sunday evening, called Jesus, Prophet, Priest, King, where we're going to be looking at we talk about Jesus, during this time of year, we talk about how Jesus was born into the world for a purpose. And here are some of the roles that Jesus played as a prophet, as a priest, and as a king. We're going to talk about each of those on the next few services today, next Sunday, and next Sunday night. And so I invite you to turn in your Bible or in the Bible that's in front of you to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We're going to be reading verses 15 through 22. And this is the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." Let's pray together. Father, again, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your truth that sanctifies us. And now, Holy Spirit, do just that in our lives. Sanctify us by our truth and show us more of the beauty of Jesus, that we would not only believe in him, but we would love him more. And out of that love, love each other more and love our community more. And we pray this in the name of Jesus and his glory, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Read my lips. No new taxes. Any of you remember those words from George H.W. Bush? And you remember what happened? New taxes. And then there was Bill Clinton, who talked a lot about how we really need to reform campaign finance because it's a little crooked. But no reform happened during his time in office. And then we had George W. Bush, who promised to reduce government spending. And what happened during his time as president? It actually doubled. And then we had Barack Obama, who promised to close Guantanamo Bay Detention Center. Still open. And now we have a president who, he said in the first 100 days, he would repeal and replace Obamacare. 100 days went by. Obamacare is still in place. Our leaders promise a lot of things, but very few times do they actually deliver. These last five presidents, they made campaign promises that they did not fulfill. And that may cause us to go into even a service like this one with cynicism, with doubts, with fears, with anxieties, with all kinds of things going through our mind, can what we hear in the scriptures about Jesus be true? And at this time of year, when we are thinking about how Jesus came into the world, certainly we need our faith. We need our faith strengthened. We need to have our faith renewed. Once again, we need to look back and see that that little baby that was born and then placed in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn, we need to remember that that same baby grew up to become the Savior and Lord. And we desperately need that in a time where there are so many things, so many voices giving us promises, telling us how we should live, so many things pulling on us in so many different directions. We need our faith strengthened. Do you feel that? I know I do. And so today, as we start this new series, I want to say that God has made some promises. And all of those promises come true in Christ. And I want to show you some of that today as we look at this topic of Jesus as a prophet. But let's start with this passage from Deuteronomy. This passage from Deuteronomy says that God promised His people that He would raise up a prophet for their good. That's what He promises in this passage. God promised His people that He would raise up a prophet for their good. In verse 15 of Deuteronomy 18, Moses is speaking to the people who are gathered there on the verge of going into the promised land. They are at the River Jordan, and they can look and see the promised land across the river. And now Moses is saying, look, God says that I'm not going to go across. I'm not going to go into the promised land with you, but the Lord your God, He's going to raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers, and you should listen to Him. And then in verse 17, He says, the Lord says, yes, they are right. The people are right in asking for you to be their my spokesman. And so in verse 18, He says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. That is a promise from God, and we can take it to the bank and know that He will deliver. It's not like a campaign promise of a president that may or may not be fulfilled. This is one that is fulfilled. And God did raise up prophets. And we have a whole a slew of them in the Old Testament, from Isaiah all the way to Malachi. Prophets that God raised up. Prophets, God said words and told them what to say or told them how they should do, what they should do, that their lives should demonstrate something. And He carried them along by the Holy Spirit so that what they said were the actual words of God. And so when we talk about a prophet, most of us, when we think of prophets, we tend to think about how prophets make prophecies, right? You think in terms of future telling, telling something that's going to happen in the future. And even in this passage, we see there is some of that, where God says there will be false prophets who will speak and they will say things. And how do you know whether that prophet will speak on behalf of God or not? Well, if what he says comes true, then you know that he was from God. And if he doesn't, if what he says doesn't come true, then you know that prophet has not spoken on behalf of God. But true prophets, and that's what we want to talk about here, true prophets were called by God and endowed by the Holy Spirit to speak on behalf of God Himself. That's what a true prophet is. Not just foretelling, but also forth-telling, not just telling the future, but just speaking God's message to God's people. That's what all the prophets had in common. And the true prophets were called by God, and they were endowed by the Holy Spirit to speak on behalf of God Himself. That's why many of the prophets come with this phrase, and we read it this morning, "Thus says the Lord." This is what the Lord says. Not this is what Malachi or Jeremiah or Hosea says. This is what God Himself says to you. And He's using me as His mouthpiece. And that's exactly what God promised in this passage. He says, "I will raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brothers. I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command." And then he goes on in verse 21 to answer a question that I think many of the Israelites were probably thinking, well, how do I know? How do I know, God? How do I know it's a voice from you? How do I know this prophet is really speaking on your behalf? And then he says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken it presumptuously. And, you know, when I think about that in particular, I think about some of these end times prophets, as they call themselves, like Harold Camping, for example. I hope there are no Harold Camping fans in the audience, but just Harold Camping, if you don't know who he was, he predicted that Jesus would return in the year 2011, twice. Once in, I think it was May, and then in October. And he even put signs in Columbia, South Carolina. I remember driving to Columbia one day and seeing this sign that basically said, "The end is near, Harold Camping." Predicted it, and he had the date on there of when everything was going to come to an end. Now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to look around. Now, this is not like, this is literal. This is not a figurative thing. I want you to look around. I want you to look around. Now, does this look like the new heaven and new earth? Does this look like Jesus has returned? I mean, I was expecting a lot more than this. I mean, you guys are great, but still, I thought it would be a lot better. Yeah, because Harold Camping, he spoke presumptuously. He was a false prophet. He spoke things that did not come true. And the good thing is that he is on this side of the cross, because he had lived in Moses' time, they would have put him to death. Because that was the penalty for speaking a prophecy and it not coming true. So, and there are all kinds of people who do these things. They speak supposedly on behalf of God, and yet they speak falsely. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware that there are people who will say right-sounding things, but what they're really saying are lies. And we need to be aware of that. But what God promises in this passage is that He would raise up true prophets. And not just true prophets, which He did do, but a true prophet. A particular prophet. Do you notice how he says in verse 15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, a prophet. And then again in verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet. Now, I have read some commentaries on this passage, and almost all of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, I should say, say, well, he doesn't really mean one specific prophet. What he really means is the prophetic office. And that makes a lot of sense in many ways, except for the fact that Jesus himself says that all of the scriptures point to him. And if you read in John 5, verse 46, Jesus is telling people, he says, he believed in Moses. Now, who wrote the book of Deuteronomy? Moses. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. Oh, really? Moses wrote of Jesus. Okay. Well, what did he write about him? Well, at least one thing. After the miracle of the feeding of 5,000 in John 6, verse 14, there were people who saw what Jesus did in the feeding of the 5,000, and they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." This is the prophet, the one that Moses was talking about all along. And we know that because of the miracles that he was doing. And then we see in Hebrews 1, this beautiful passage where the author of Hebrews said, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." A Son who is like Moses and yet greater than Moses. A Son who was raised up from among his brothers, his people, because Jesus was born a Jew, from the line of David, from the tribe of Judah, from the line of Abraham. This is who this Jesus is. And he, Jesus, that is, Jesus is the ultimate true prophet. That's what this passage points us to. Yes, there is a sense in which God raised up many different kinds of prophets, and that in one sense fulfills what Moses was talking about in Deuteronomy 18, but ultimately it's all about Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate true prophet. He is the one who speaks God's truth. And this means because Jesus is the prophet that God was speaking of, and that God himself would put his words in his mouth so that he would speak them to the people, this means that what Jesus says to us is truth from God himself. I don't know if you ever think about that. That what Jesus says is truth from God himself. It's not opinion. It's not his studied work that he spent a lot of time, you know, poring over the scrolls. And here's my interpretation of the scriptures. This isn't the kind of thing where I hear this quite often, where people will say, "Well, I just can't believe that God would say something like that." Well, maybe you need to believe it if God really has said it. Whether you believe it or not, that doesn't make it true or not. You hear what I'm saying there? I mean, just because if you tell me Merry Christmas, and I say, you know, they never said Merry Christmas to me. Well, does that make what you said untrue? Does that make Merry Christmas that came off your lips, it actually went back into your mouth and it never happened? No. You spoke, and I, for whatever reason, decided I didn't want to believe that you said what you said. And there are many people today who do the same thing with what God has said. God says some pretty hard things. He says some pretty strong things. And there are people who go, "You know what? I don't believe God could say that. I don't believe God would say that. My God wouldn't say that." Well, your God isn't the God of the whole universe. I know that's not kind of harsh, but I mean, it's true. And whatever God says is true. He is the God who cannot lie, and that means that what Jesus says to us as this ultimate true prophet, it is truth from God Himself. God says, I will raise up a prophet like you from among your brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak to them all that I command him. And now maybe you're thinking, well, Stuart, you know, I don't remember Jesus being a prophet in any sense. Well, let's think about this. First of all, a prophet speaks on behalf of God. He is the mouthpiece of God, and that is certainly what Jesus did. He spoke on behalf of his Father. But we do have a test. A test to see whether Jesus really was a prophet from God or not, right? Right here in this passage. In verse 21, when he says, how may we know? How do we know that the word that a prophet says is really from the Lord? And God says, if what he says comes to pass, if it comes true, then you know he's a true prophet. Do you know how many times in the Gospels Jesus predicted his own death and resurrection? His own suffering death and resurrection. In the Gospel of Matthew, 7 times he predicted it. In the Gospel of Mark, 8 times. In the Gospel of Luke, 5 times. In the Gospel of John, 4 times. There's dozens of times where Jesus predicted not only that he was going to die a particular way, but that he would rise from the dead. And he did. He both died and rose from the dead. And that is the sign of a true prophet. But we need to remember something. Jesus is not only a prophet who speaks on behalf of God. He is God in the flesh. Not just some prophet that God raised up from among his brothers and he's just a mere human being. Well, he is a human being, but he's much more than that. He is a human being in whom God himself dwells. Because the Son of God, very God of very God, left heaven and became incarnate and was born to a virgin named Mary. And he is God in the flesh. Yes, he has a human nature, but he also is divine. And so, as John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or as Jesus himself said, and this is what got him in a lot of trouble with the religious leaders. He was talking to them about Abraham, and they said, how do you know anything about Abraham? You're not even old enough to know anything about Abraham. And Jesus looks them square in the eyes and he says, let me tell you something. Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And if you miss that, okay, first of all, he's saying that he existed before Abraham, yes. But if you missed the point of what Jesus was saying, the words I am was the way God himself told Moses who he was in Exodus. When Moses was standing at the burning bush and Moses said, who do I tell the Israelites who this God is? And he says, I am who I am. Tell them I am sent you. And here's Jesus standing in front of the religious leaders, and they're saying, you don't know squat about Abraham. And Jesus says, let me tell you, before Abraham was even born, I am. No wonder they wanted to stone him. I mean, if I stood up here and said something like that, you would have me out of here immediately. At least you should, because I ain't no Jesus. Jesus. And that is who this prophet is. He's not just a prophet sent from God. He is a prophet who is God. And so we can know with certainty that whatever he says is true. Whatever he says is truly from our God. Now maybe you're saying, well, Stuart, what does this have to do with anything? Okay, that's cool that Jesus is a prophet. All right, cool. Yeah, fine. Got it. Prophet. Yeah, I'll remember that next time I want to impress somebody at a Bible study. But what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with us? I'm glad you asked. Because there are so many voices. And we talked about this just a little while ago in the intro of the sermon. Because there are so many voices telling us how we should live, we need to listen carefully to what Jesus has to say to us. We need to listen carefully to what Jesus has to say to us, because there are so many voices speaking into our lives, telling us who we should be and how we should live and what we should do. If you look at the context of Deuteronomy 18, Moses is telling them, the Israelites, you are going into the promised land. You're going into the land of Canaan. And when you go there, there are going to be all kinds of people who have all kinds of different views of who God is and how to worship and how to do this or that or the other. Don't listen to their voices. You need to listen to the voice of God, the voice of the prophet. Don't let them keep you away from the truth. Don't let them cause you to stray from the path of truth. Now, let me say this really quickly in case someone misunderstands. I am not saying that there isn't truth out in the world around us. There is. There's a saying that all truth is God's truth. And that is true. But how do you know whether the truth out there is true or not? The things that say that they are truth out there, how do you know? They have to line up with what God has already said. And if they don't, then at the very least, we need to start scratching our head and saying, this doesn't seem to line up. Because, and especially when we hear these voices speaking into our lives and telling us, you really should be doing this. You really should be thinking about this. You should really be focusing on this. You know what? You know what the world around us tells us is most important? Your gratification. That's basically what it is. Your comfort. You being in control of your circumstances, and your delight in particular things, whatever those particular things are. Comfort, control, gratification. That is what the world is always speaking into our ears, whispering into our ears. When there's something hard, we say, ooh, that sounds hard. And the world says, you don't want to do that. Be comfortable. When we seem like we're out of control and we want to gain control for ourselves and make the world around us fit to our little square box, but it doesn't, we hear them say, try a little harder. You can do it. You can be the captain of your ship. And when things aren't going our way, we hear the world whispering into our ears, just do it for you. Find your gratification in this. Just give yourselves over to it. Come on, it'll be fun. You'll love it. But if we really do believe that Jesus is the prophet that God raised up for us and that we should listen to him, then these ideas of comfort, control, and gratification, they're not the most important things, are they? The voices of comfort, control, and gratification, they call us. But then Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We hear comfort and control and gratification all around us. But Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It's better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And what Jesus is saying there is that sin is, it's serious. And you need to take strong measures to deal with sin seriously. And Jesus says things like, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, wow. What? I mean, how has Jesus loved us? There was sacrifice and death. There was humbling of himself and suffering. And he says, love one another the way that I've loved you. And then he goes even further and he says, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. What? How in the world can we do that? And in a world that seems to be tearing apart, even the church, tearing apart at the seams, kind of going our own way and finding our own individual path, Jesus says that he wants us to be one, just as he and the Father are one. And he even prays about this in John 17, that we may be one, he in us and we in him, that we may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that the Father sent Jesus and loved us, even as the Father loved him. Him. Wow. Wow. You know, just like the prophets of old, Jesus said some hard things. And prophets were always saying things that got them into trouble. Prophets had hard lives. And it's the religious people who usually didn't like what the prophets had to say. And in the same way, here's Jesus, the prophet, very God of very God, standing before religious leaders and saying things that they just did not want to hear because it didn't match up with their comfort. It didn't match up with their desire to be in control. It did not match up with their desire for gratifying the desires of their flesh. What about you, Christian? What about you, person sitting in these pews today? Does that fit you? Is that your basic desire? Is I want comfort, I want control, I want gratification above all else? If that's true, Jesus the prophet is speaking and he is saying, those are not the most important things. There are better things. When it comes to gratification, we prayed about this morning in our prayer of confession. Nothing on earth can satisfy us the way that Jesus will. When it comes to control, can I tell you the honest truth? Can I be prophetic here? You don't want to be in control. You think you want to be in control, but you will mess it up. You really will. And that's not on you. Well, yes, it is. I mean, all of us, we would all mess it up. God, in His wisdom and His power and His holiness and in His goodness, we can't even fathom how He's piecing this puzzle together. He's the one that's in control, and we need to trust Him, not trust ourselves. That's why I say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And when it comes to comfort, there's no comfort that the world offers that Jesus doesn't offer even better. And He says to me, come. He says to us, come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, Jesus says. And these are all true things. And yes, Jesus said some hard things as in His prophetic role. And we need to hear these things. We do. We need to hear the truth. Because there are so many voices telling us how to live. And we need to listen carefully to what Jesus says to us, even if it's hard. But this is true not only in terms of how we should live, but also in what we believe about our salvation. Look, Jesus just didn't go around making everybody's lives miserable by telling them hard things. He also spoke the truth of a beautiful and wonderful salvation. That's what we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas and Easter and every other holiday and every other Sunday. And honestly, as Christians, every day that we wake up is a day to celebrate the salvation that God has given us in Christ, the God who sent this prophet, who not only served as a prophet, but also spoke true words of salvation. Words like, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. Do you believe what Jesus said? Then you, my friend, have eternal life. Not will have sometime in the future. You have it right now. And nothing in all creation can take that away. Or what this prophetic utterance that Jesus gave us in John 6:37. He says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You don't know how many times I come to that verse. When I mess up, when I realize just how rotten I am. And I come to this verse and say, I came to you, Jesus. You promise, as God's prophet, you promise. And what you promise always comes true. And you promise that you will never cast me out because I came to you. That's a word of encouragement to you. You come to Jesus, He says, I will not cast you out. And then think about Jesus at the Lord's Supper. And I wish we were doing the Lord's Supper today, but we just didn't have time for that. The Lord's Supper, and He says, this is my blood. When He holds up the cup, He says, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus, the prophet, says these words before He died. Sometimes I think we miss that. Before He even died, Jesus says, my blood is being poured out for the forgiveness of sins of many people, including you and me. And Jesus, I want you to think about this, Jesus' prophetic word to us isn't just in what He says to us, but it's even in what He does for us. His literal life, death, and resurrection speaks to us all the time. And it says words like, if you believe, you are forgiven. Because just as Jesus was dead and He rose from the dead, you were dead in your trespasses. You were dead in your sins, and yet God Himself raised you up with Christ. And now you are alive to God. And you can hear the words of your Savior, and you can obey them. You can give them. You can believe them. I know I said sometime before that when I was a kid, I think I did this for Sunday school, there was a Sears Roebuck catalog. Some of you don't even know what that is. And every year at Christmas time, I would write out my list of what it is that I wanted. And I asked them for some pretty big things. And my parents were poor, but they did their best to try to get me what they could. I remember this one year in particular. I got Stretch Armstrong. Some of you don't know what Stretch Armstrong is. Half naked guy that has big muscles, but you can stretch him out. It was awesome. The greatest gift, one of the greatest gifts I ever got. I mean, just beautiful. But here, I mean, as great as Stretch Armstrong was, it's nothing compared to the gift that I have in Jesus. In fact, you can take all the Christmas gifts that I've ever gotten from the time I was a baby to now 45, put them all in one room, count up the worth of that, and then compared to Jesus, just burn it. That's what it's really worth. Compared to Jesus, you might as well throw it away. What we all want for Christmas, ultimately, is not what's going to be under the tree, but it's the one who died on the tree and rose from the dead. Because only He can satisfy. And He spoke these words to us to give us not only a way to live, but the encouragement to live that way, because He has done everything that is needed for our salvation. Do you believe that? I hope you do. Because our prophet has spoken. He is a true prophet, and what he says is all true, and what he says will always come about. So, folks, let's listen to Jesus. Let's listen to him. Let's believe what he says, and then let's put into practice what he calls us to do. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the gift that he is. That he is a prophet that speaks truth to us, and we can bank on everything he says. And his words that challenge us, we can believe that those words are really good for us because you raised him up from among us. To be like us in every way, yet without sin. And what he has said to us is that as we come to him, he freely gives us not only salvation, but everything else that boggles our minds. And help us this Christmas season, and not just this Christmas season, but all of our lives and through eternity, to trust in our prophet that what he says is most certainly true. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.